Happy New Year and happy holidays, everyone. It's Tony Bruschi. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations we've had in 2023 surrounding the case against Corey Richens.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Susan Constantine today, body language expert, about the case against Corey Richens. Corey Richens, if you're just beginning to follow this one like we are, she's the children's book author who wrote one book about grief called Are You Still With Me? She says that she made it so her children could better cope with the loss of their father, who passed suddenly about a year ago. Even went on TV promoting it. And now she's charged with his murder. The long and the short of it, the accusations are that she got some fentanyl. She called it the Michael Jackson shit. Although, propofol was the Michael Jackson shit. But she still got it and put it in a Moscow mule. And, well, several hours later, her husband was dead. Also around the same time that she wanted to buy a fixer-upper for a couple million dollars. And he said, no. And then guess what? He's dead. Susan Constantine, welcome. I really want to get your insight. I know you have a chance. You have had a chance to look at that video now of her television appearance. What stands out to you?
Well, there wasn't any. This is the really interesting thing, and I'm so glad you asked this, because it's very disturbing to me. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
I feel like there is a rise of sociopaths on this planet.
Yep.
And they have become so seamless and so convincing that, and there's a sense of sinister about them, but they don't show the signs like in this interview. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at this interview, you would have thought that she was a PTA mom, right? Yeah. I mean, she looked a little timid. She was holding her hand. She was a little bit, you know, uncomfortable. She was seated upright. She was making good eye contact. She was great at explaining and walking through, you know, why she wrote the book, et cetera. And I was looking at her facial expressions. I didn't sense a sense of anger, contempt, or disgust when she was talking about the father. Mm-hmm. And usually those are precursors to a person who's going to carry out a violent act. And usually you'll see some sort of slippage of that. Never came through. There was maybe one slight contempt, but it wasn't enough for me to really code it. But when you're looking at her body language, there wasn't anything that innately stood out and said, this woman is someone you need to watch out for. I mean, there's something very, you know, suspicious. Where I found odd is really on another side of that, which was the timing of when that book came out. So even the reporter, I thought that she was really good. It's like, how could you focus? Like, how could you focus after just losing your husband and write this book? Yeah. And so I think that that's a big one. And I think that kind of opened up a can of worms with, you know, trying to cope with the father's passing, and the whole conversation was really more geared about the children. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear her talking about how she has been, how she's been impacted, how difficult it's been for her to help her children through, be strong on her, in herself, and also be strong for her children. So she's kind of removed herself. So when anytime a person doesn't put themselves into the entire conversation, they've done that for a reason. They've removed them because they don't want to be part of the event. So what she does is she subterfuges. She pushes it off. It's third person, how other people would feel. So she's kind of focused on the children. Her thinking pattern is that if I can write this book, it's really going to make me look innocent, because I'm writing this book for other people that are going through families where they've had a lost loved one, et cetera. So I think that what she's done is she was already thinking about doing this prior to murdering him. I think this is all the way she was thinking ahead of time. How can she make this look like it's different from other murders? How can she appear to be like this doting and caring and loving widow and also mother raising these children without a father. So I think that she played a lot of that in her head, a lot like Casey Anthony did. Mm-hmm. And they start to become where they start believing their own lies. And she was, you know, she's taking this position that daddy is out there, he's just in a different form. Well, I guess that's how she was able to rationalize.
Yeah.
Right. So if she takes them, she's saying, well, you know, daddy's really not gone. He's just somewhere else. He's in the heavens and daddy's always going to be here with us. And we can always have daddy here, not in person, but in spirit. Right. So that was how she was able to convince herself, going back to those rose colored glasses things again. Yeah. So anyway, that's where I saw the deception. And I can't even really point to a specific thing that she said, because there wasn't one. It was when collectively the timing, the book, and as an author myself, in 1 year to be able to pull that concept together and do your research and then do your comparable books of others that are similar and to be able to collect your thoughts and to write it and then have it edited and then publish it. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I mean, come on here, guys. I mean, usually, and just even with your own right mind, it's going to take 15, 16 months. I'm in the process of writing my second book right now as we speak. Yep. So it is not a simple process, especially it's very complicated when it comes to children's books because there's so much competition. Here's the other thing she does. It's free to everyone. So she wants to play the good guy, right? Yep. Look at how kind I am. I want to really help other parents, etc. So this book is also for free. Those things are not overt indicators, but I think the timing of it to me and the topic and leaving out herself in it and focused on the children and not really playing the grieving wife, which is what I would have hoped she would have. Those would have been indicators. But if I were looking at this with a new set of eyes, and I saw that video, I'd say she's just like a typical PTA mom. What a great mom she is.
It was interesting to watch, because you're right. There really wasn't a ton of huge red flags. It did seem very mechanical, though. It seemed as though, you know, she's playing the role almost as if she learned the role that she was supposed to play, which a lot of sociopaths do because they don't have the capabilities of showing the emotion that others would show. And sometimes people who have those sort of tendencies, I believe, that don't want to be horrible human beings, will learn those paths and learn to emulate others. And okay, here's how I'm supposed to feel or look after something happened, and then display those to the public. But there's always something a little bit off about it.
Yeah. Exactly. So when you're looking at that, and those are very good points to pull out, you would assume that she'd have more energy, more enthusiasm mm-hmm. when she's talking about it. She was using a lot of open hand gestures, usually when you're being forthright and you're being open and honest. Actually, you'll see that with fingers open, et cetera. But she did have a hard time with struggling through with the three C's. You know, she kind of stopped after the first one and the interviewer had to kind of pull her back into it. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the mechanics of that, the mechanical part of it is that why wasn't she able to flow? Just so you understand that when you're detecting deception, it is a real process. Okay. So when you're looking at that, she kind of stopped and starched, kind of lost her thoughts. She didn't flow very easily. You have to also consider the environment she's in. Mm-hmm. Was she ever on TV before? Was she ever interviewed before? How was she on television? So we take that into account that, that maybe in a situation like that, a person wouldn't be comfortable, right? So you have to kind of weigh out those kinds of things because to your point is these also were indicators, but oftentimes we don't know. Even a deception detection expert like myself, you can see the clues, but unless they happen in clusters, and unless you ask a probative question, one that would create a stimulus, which is where the investigator or the interviewer did say, you know, with how are you able to do that after so soon after your husband has passed away? Mm-hmm. So that was a stimulus. Get it?
Yeah.
So that's a stimulus. So when you don't have a stimulus where a person is using more probative questioning, it's not going to increase cognitive load. So if you don't have cognitive load, then you've got the person who is narrating it mm-hmm. has full rein to be able to recite what they thought in their head to be able to do it more flawlessly. So because this wasn't an investigation, there was no reason for them to consider her as a suspect in her in his death. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask those questions. It was just that was probably the first one that I saw that would have been a stimulus question to watch her. But again, when you watch her facial expression, she didn't really show much expression as far as I would be looking for wrinkling in her forehead where stressors are, like when you're really trying to pull off a lie and your stressors, when, especially when you know the truth, you're trying to tell it differently from what you know and what you already know to be truth. And usually you see those stressors. So chances are she has rehearsed it over and over again. And even though rehearse it, that's what you're seeing is that mechanical processing. That's why I never, when I do a speaking engagement, I never practice. Like for this, I'm not going to practice sure. because why would you practice? If you don't know your shit now, you're not going to know it then.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't BS your way through it.
No.
So you can't because what you're saying is you're seeing that BS barometer go off. Something's not quite right. So the bottom line is when something doesn't feel right, doesn't sound right, what I want your listeners to know is don't rationalize what they're saying. Just know that if it doesn't sound right, doesn't feel right, doesn't look right, it's because it doesn't sound right, doesn't look right, and it isn't right. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, and I said, don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to figure it all out. Just know that if there's something off, there's something off. And that's all it is. Something is off. Mm-hmm. So what is it?
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Susan Constantine, body language expert. Thank you so much for your insight into this. She's president of the Human Behavior Academy. Always fascinating to get your insight on cases like this. Hey, if you like the podcast, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates, discussions on the cases we're following, and listen ad-free. You might as well. It's super cheap through Apple Podcasts. Check it out. It's a couple bucks a month to get access to all of our episodes, all of our podcasts in their entirety. We're adding new ones all the time. All of it ad-free. Check it out online on Apple Podcasts. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.